7.7 billion people on the face of the earth, and a song that was played just now during the offertory, "People Need the Lord," means that all 7.7 billion of them, every individual, needs the Lord. And that's what missions is all about. Amen. Every mission conference, I like to start with just the definition of a mission conference. It's not new. I did not originate it, but I've used it so many times it feels like it's mine, okay? But here's a great definition for a mission conference. A mission conference is a local church and business meeting deciding the fate of the heathen. So this week, tonight through Sunday night, Grace Baptist Church is in business meeting. And what you do with what you hear and what you see this week will determine whether some people are able to hear the gospel and have an opportunity to be saved, or whether they would live all of their lives and never one time hear a gospel message. So I trust that each of you will try to be here every service. It'll be different. Every night will be different. And you'll hear something every night. If you miss a night, that would be just the night that God would have something special for you. I would say it is good to be here with you at Grace Baptist Church, but that would be superfluous, because at my age, it's good to be anywhere in the world. Amen. I was in North Carolina not long ago, Brother Hahn, and the pastor was probably in his late 30s, mid-40s, early 40s, something like that. Anyway, they were young. Of course, nowadays, everybody's young, okay? But we were eating lunch one day, and the pastor's wife said to me, she said, "Brother Sis, you came to our church when I was a little girl," and said, "You was old then, okay?" And somebody said to me tonight, "Brother Sis, you were here 25 years ago. You still look the same." So I told her that day, I said, "You know, about 45 years of age, I got gray." And that was good, because I was in Japan then. And the Japanese really respect old people. And if anybody gets gray in Japan, they're old, okay? And so I said, about 45, I got just about as old and as ugly as you can get. So I hadn't changed a whole lot, okay? But anyway, it is a great blessing to be here. Now, let me say just a word about the tables, and you'll go back at the end of the service and meet the missionaries and so forth. And I have a table back there, and I have some materials from Baptist International Missions Incorporated, some magazines and different things. And I would like for you to take one of the cards about the Papua New Guinea project. That's an amazing open door. They have asked us to give a Bible to every student in Papua New Guinea, 2.5 million of them. And they've already given one to every high school student, every junior high school, or have about half of the junior high school student, and now they're working on the other junior highs. And the thing about it is, they're not just passing out Bibles. They get to go to a big meeting of all of the students in a school. They get them all together for a service. And then the missionary or the national pastor there in New Guinea preaches to them, just preaches a simple gospel message and gives an invitation, and many have already been saved. Then after that, they give all of them a Bible. And by the way, already literally thousands of people are going to church in New Guinea that had never gone to church before in their life. So a lot of things to pray about. Let me tell you just a brief word about the books that I have. One of the first books that I ever wrote was a book called From Where I Sat. And this is a compilation of 50 of the editorials that I wrote while I was the president of the IMI for our magazine. And that will be a big help to you. Several years ago, God laid on my heart a need. And the need was this, that we serve God till the day we die. And a lot of people retire. In fact, the average person in America retires somewhere between 60 and 65 years of age. The average person in America lives somewhere between 80 and 85 years. That means they've still got a fourth of their life left. So I wrote a book called The Fourth Quarter. Can you imagine a football team playing three quarters and then saying to the coach, "Okay, coach, I'm out of here now. I've done my part." No. The game is won or lost in the fourth quarter, okay? So it's serving God till the day you die with joy. And then a book called 10 Principles for Biblical Living, and that's been used in a lot of places. And several years ago, Dr. Paul Chappell and Carrie Smith decided they would write a biography, and I told them there was nothing to write about. But they insisted they was going to do it anyway. So about 3 years later, I finally said to Carrie, okay, if you can write a biography that will show what God can do with nothing. And by the way, that's what God had, amen? And he did a good job of it. Anyway, the books are back there. If you'd like one of them, feel free to take them. In fact, if you'd like, I will be glad to sign the books for you. But they'll be worth less after I sign them. Because then it will be a used book, okay? Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And in a minute, I'm going to read a very familiar story to you. And it's a great, some great truths in here, I believe, for missions. And in fact, what I want you to notice is just the phrase, okay? Here am I, here am I, here am I. And just think about Abraham. And nothing could be better for this church and for the world than for all of us tonight to leave here. Like we sing in the song, I'll go wherever he wants me to go and so forth. And just say to God, dear God, here am I. And what that means is I'm available. I'm available. Okay. Look at it, if you will. Genesis chapter 22. Would you like to stand with me to honor God's word as I read? And I'm going to read down through verse 14. And you follow me in your Bible as I read, okay? And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. An angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Dear Lord, we thank you for the Bible, the infallible, inspired, and errant Word of God. We thank you for this wonderful story. And as we look at the faith of Abraham, I pray, dear God, that you would help each of us to even be willing to say, like Abraham, to all of the various challenges, here am I. Here am I. Speak to hearts tonight, dear Lord. We're totally dependent upon you. I've studied, I've prayed. But Lord, I know that I can do nothing without you. You said in your word, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And Lord, we'd like to do that. But then at the end of that verse, you said, and without me, you can do nothing. So Lord, we recognize and admit tonight that we need you. And I pray that you'd use me for your glory. I pray you'd hide me behind your cross. And may the people see you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 1, verse 7, and verse 11, we hear Abraham using the word, here am I am here, okay? When God spake to Moses from the burning bush, he uttered the same thing, here am I. Here am I. And when God showed Abraham a vision of the thrice holy God, and he heard the seraphim singing and all of the glorious things it said, and then the Bible says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. He listened to Samuel. When God spake to Samuel, and at first he thought it was Eli and so forth, but eventually he realized that it was God speaking to him. And he told him, all right, if you hear the voice again, just say to him, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. The phrase, here am I, simply means, I am available. I am available. I am in your hand. I am disposable to you. I am ready to do whatever you want me to do. It was Bob Jones Sr. that was credited with saying, the greatest ability in all of the world is availability. All of them were saying, I am at your disposal to do with me whatever you please. Can you imagine what would happen here at Grace Baptist Church if every member here tonight was totally committed to God and was willing to say to God, here am I. I am available for whatever. So let's listen to Abraham. Number one, he said, I am ready to go wherever you want me to go. I am ready to go wherever you want me to go. Genesis 12:1 says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. By the way, that follows all through the Bible. God says, I will bless you, now I want you to be a blessing, okay? And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had said unto him. And we find a great truth in Hebrews chapter 11. And the Bible says this of Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Now listen to this. And he went out, not knowing where he went. That's a lot of faith, amen. I've often said one of the most difficult things that a missionary has to do is go to his father-in-law and say, I am taking your daughter and I am taking your grandchildren to a foreign country. That's difficult. But can you imagine if the father would then say, by the way, where are you going? Well, I don't know where we're going. We're just going, amen. Now, thank God you didn't have to do that, amen. But the Bible says Abraham went out not knowing where he went. In other words, God said, leave the country here, get out. And then step by step, God led him as he obeyed the Lord. The best place in the world is where God desires for you to be. Now, I'm going to make another statement. I've been contradicted, but I always tell people, they have a right to be wrong if they want to, okay? The safest place in the world is where God leads you. The safest place in the world is where God leads you. By the way, I believe from the depth of my heart that we are indispensable until God is finished with us. Happiness, joy, and peace is not in a geographical location, but it is in the will of God. And I believe from the depth of my heart, if God's people were saying, hear my Lord, I am ready to go wherever you want me to go, there would be a lot more people going to the great number of unevangelized people on the face of the earth today. I started preaching mission conferences back in 1974. And I came up with a statistic, and I'm not sure where I got it, but it was from a reliable source. And here's just what it said in 1974. 6% of the world's population speaks English. However, 94% of all the preaching that is done in the English language. That means that 6% of the gospel preachers are trying to reach 94% of the population of the world. Something is wrong with that figure, is it not? And I believe from the depth of my heart, if there were everybody here tonight, and for sure, God's not going to call everybody to be a missionary, okay? But I believe he's calling a whole lot more than are answering. I've had people say to me, with the world population, 7.7 billion, isn't it strange that God isn't calling more missionaries? But I don't think we can blame God for not calling. I think it's the fact that we are not listening. In fact, I often say when I'm preaching in Bible colleges and seminaries and so forth, Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. And the average young man in America today is saying, Lord, here's my sister, send her. By the way, there are a lot more young ladies that are giving their lives to be missionaries than there are young men. Wouldn't that be great tonight and during this mission conference if God would call out some laborers for the field? Amen. And by the way, remember, Jesus only had one prayer request. And that's in Matthew chapter 9. He looked on the multitude and he was moved with compassion. By the way, every time Jesus looked on a multitude, he was always moved with compassion. Can you imagine the population today and the population in the days when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth was nothing in comparison to what it is today. Can't you imagine? He looks on the multitude today and he says, the harvest truly is plenteous. No problem with the harvest, but the laborers are few. And they've never been fewer in comparison. Okay, what's the remedy. What's the way we can get laborers? Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, I trust you're doing that this year. That you'll be praying that God will call forth laborers from Grace Baptist Church. Many years ago, and it was probably in the early 80s, I was preaching in a church in Lynchburg, Virginia. And the pastor and I was eating lunch with a wonderful Christian family. And as we were eating, the lady said to Pastor Austin, "Brother Austin, I get nervous every time we have a mission conference." And Brother Austin inquired as to why she got nervous about a mission conference. And she said, "You know, we have a 17-year-old daughter, a 15-year-old son, and both of them are very dedicated Christians. And I'm scared to death that God is going to call one of them to the mission field. And I don't believe I could stand to see my children go to the mission field." You may say, "Brother Sisk, is that rather common?" And I don't know. It may be. But it's not very Christian. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And by the way, we ought to be willing to give our children, our grandchildren, whatever the case may be, so that those who do not know about Jesus can know him and we can be with them in heaven. And it would be worth our being separated for a little bit of time on this earth from our children so they could tell other people how to know they're saved and going to heaven. So Abraham said, "Here am I, send me." In other words, he's saying, "I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go." Number two, "I'm ready to go when you want me to go." By the way, where God wants us to go is important. But just as important as where God wants us to go is when God wants us to go. So look at verse 3. And he said, verse 2, I'm going to read that and then read verse 3, okay? And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." By the way, Abraham was speaking very plainly, or God was speaking very plainly to Abraham. And Abraham recognized the voice of God. And if you're very close to God, then God speaks to you. You can recognize the voice of God. Now what happened? Look at verse 3. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." And it literally means early the next morning. Wow. I have no idea what Abraham might have slept on that night. He was a very wealthy man. So he may have had a very comfortable place to rest. But I'll guarantee you, that night, there was no rest. Can you imagine? They'd waited all of these years for Isaac, and then he was born, and now he's a young man, and God is saying, and by the way, all of the promises that God had made to Abraham were all wrapped up in Isaac. And now God is saying, "Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your son, your only son, and offer him on Mount Moriah as a burnt offering for me." And Abraham thinks all of that night. And maybe that wasn't the voice of God, but then that's God speaking to me. By the way, when God speaks, you know it's God, amen? That's God speaking to me. Now, I'm not sure. I've thought about this often, Pastor. I'm not sure he told Sarah about this. But think about it. He did not procrastinate. There's a lot of people. They're going to do something someday. Someday, someday. But usually someday never comes. He did not question God. God is speaking. And I'm not going to wait. In other words, I must obey God now. I love the verse in Ecclesiastes where it says, 9:10, whatsoever thy hands find to do, do it with thy might. You know what he's saying? Whatever God has put before you, then do it with all of your might. Do it energetically. Do it enthusiastically. And then he adds, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, you're only going to live so long. And after that, then all of your labor will be over. So whatever you're going to do for the glory of God, do it now. So Abraham said, here am I will go wherever you want me to go. I will go when you want me to go. And then he said, I will go and obey, even when I don't understand. Think about it. I will go, I will obey, even though I don't understand. And many times God speaks to us and we don't understand all the ways that God is doing something. And Abraham didn't understand. Look at verses 6 through 8 again. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the burnt offering? Or where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? By the way, remember what John the Baptist said when he saw the Lord? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Here is the Lamb, huh? And Abraham didn't. There was just a lot of things about this that I'm convinced that Abraham did not understand. But he obeyed. He obeyed. You remember when God told Moses to go back and deliver the children of Egypt, or the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage and so forth. And Abraham had all kind of questions for God and so forth. They won't believe me. And God just said to him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, you know, just a rod. It's just my shepherd. I'm a shepherd. I'm taking care of my sheep with it. And that didn't look like much to Moses. But in the hands of God, that rod was a marvelous thing. Amen. There's a wonderful story in Luke chapter 5 about a fishing trip. You remember Jesus was standing on the seashores, the shores of Gadarene Sea. And as he was preaching there, then he got into Simon's boat and he asked Simon to thrust out a little from the land. And when he did, then Jesus could teach the people from the boat and a lot more people could hear him. And then after he had preached to them, you remember what he said to Simon Peter? He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon, get out in the deep water. You're going to catch a bunch of fish. You remember what Simon said? Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Now, Simon was a professional fisherman. And in essence, what he was saying is, I know fishing, okay? And I don't think there's any fish out there. And in reality, this is basically what he was saying. I don't think that's going to work. Now, has God ever dealt with you about something and the first thought you had was, I don't think that's going to work? I remember early in my Christian life, Brother Ratley said, Don, I want you to lead our singing, okay? And all I could think, I don't think that's going to work, okay? And, you know, I don't even know many hymns, and I don't know how to wave your hand. And he said, well, I'll teach you. Nobody else knows what you're waving about anyway, so it doesn't make any difference. And then God began to deal with my heart about teaching a Sunday school class. And then God began to deal with my heart about being a preacher. And I never did run from the call to preach. In fact, from the time I got saved, I thought it'd be a good idea to be a preacher. I mean, you know, I think kind of like the little boy at Surrender to Preach one time. And they said, now, what influenced you to do this? Was it your mom? Was it your dad? Was it the preacher? And he said, no, we have to come to church all the time. And it looks like the only one ever having any fun is the preacher. So I said, that guy liked to be a preacher. In fact, I my girlfriend home and then back to my house. I'd kind of rehearse the sermons that Brother Ratliff had preached. And then God began to deal with my heart about being a preacher. And really, I didn't run from the call to preach. And don't run from the call. If God's calling you, run to Him. Amen. But all I could think of was this. I wouldn't mind being a preacher. But I'm not sure anybody would want to listen. I heard Dr. Adrian Rogers preaching on the radio one time. And he said, a lot of people feel like they've been called to preach. The only problem is God hadn't called anybody to listen to them. So that's about the way I felt. Now, I didn't say that, but that's about the way I felt. And I'm not sure that's going to work. And then I never will forget, after I committed my life to be a missionary to Japan, somebody brought to me a Japanese Bible. And I looked at that Japanese Bible. And there was nothing in the Bible that looked like a word. It looked like the chickens had been out on a muddy field. It's walked on paper and it put all those papers together. It would have made just as much sense. And I looked at that Japanese Bible and all I could think of was, Lord, I'm from Kentucky. We have a very difficult time with English. And you expect me to learn a language like that? And when I went to Japan, honestly, my greatest fear was learning Japanese. And we went to Japan. About 2 weeks after we got there, we got into a language class. And about 6 weeks into that language class, all of a sudden, I began to think all of my fears were justified. They were just as difficult as I ever dreamed it would be. But by the grace of God. Now listen to Simon. We have toiled all night and have taken nothing. In my own thinking, it doesn't look like it's going to work. And by the way, when God calls you to do something, when God lays something on your heart, that might not be a bad place to start. If you'll say the next word that Simon said. You know what he said? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Okay. In other words, I don't understand it, but I know you're telling me to do it. And because you're telling me to do it, then I'm going to do it. And by the way, when you begin to obey God, then one day you're going to be like Simon. And you're going to see the great net that God brings in, filled with fishes so much that the net break. Here am I. I'm ready to go wherever you want me to go. Are you? Honestly. Here am I. I'm ready to go when you want me to go. I'm not going to procrastinate. I know it's your voice. Here am I. I'm ready to go, even though I don't understand all of it. Then I believe Abraham is saying, here am I, Lord. I'm willing to give you anything that you want from me. By the way, Abraham was a very rich man. And I believe at that time that he would have been happy to have given all of his wealth rather than to give Isaac. But God, he's saying, here am I. I don't understand it. And he even said to his men, stay here, certain place. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. And then he said, we'll come again. Now, Abraham didn't have Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. But that tells us that he believed that even though he had slain Isaac and offered him to God as a burnt offering, that God was able to raise him from the dead. You know what the whole thing says? If God said it, I believe it. If God said it, I believe it. If God speaks to me, then I'm going to obey God, whether I understand it or not. Dear my Lord, I am willing to give you anything you want. On Sunday, every member of Grace Baptist Church will be asked to make a commitment to give something every week above your regular tithe and offering to world evangelization. Wouldn't it be wonderful this year if every member would really pray and get the mind of God and then do what God tells them to do? By the way, 2 Corinthians 9:7 is a beautiful word, and we'll say more about it later in the week and so forth. But this is what it says. Listen to it real carefully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Now, if you're not careful when you say that, every man, then all the women will say, amen, let the men give. But it's not talking about gender there, okay? Every mankind, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. That's great. I believe everybody ought to give something. Every man according as he can figure out from his budget. No. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. And I wonder what would happen in missions if all of God's people really said to God, dear God, just speak to my heart and I'll give anything as much as you want me to give. A fellow in Indianapolis said to me one time, Brother Siski, if I gave all God wants me to give, I'd starve to death, me and my family. And I said, good, go ahead and do it. We need some Christian martyrs in America today. And by the way, nobody ever starved to death doing what God told them to do. Here am I. I'm ready to give whatever you want me to give. Now, here's a good one. All these are good, okay? I get excited about my own preaching. Okay, I can't wait to get to this. The next thing is, we hear Abraham saying, here am I. I'm ready to receive your provisions. And by the way, when we say to God, dear God, I'm willing to go anywhere you want me to go. I'm not going to procrastinate. I'll go when you want me to go. And even though I don't understand it, I'll obey. I'll go. And dear God, I'm willing to give you anything. Then we're putting ourselves in the place where God will provide for us. Look at verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an offering or built an altar there and laid the woods in order. Now notice this. And bound Isaac. Isaac is a young man, maybe 20 years old. Abraham is an old man, maybe 120 years old. And I think if Isaac would have wanted to resist, he could have done it. And I think Isaac offered himself as the offering. And going up that mountain, it must have been a very solemn and a very sad situation. He bound him upon the altar of the wood, laid him on the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, what did he say? Here am I. Here am I. I'm listening, God. I'm ready to receive whatever you have for me. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now think about it. If Abraham would have said, why go to Mount Moriah? There's other places that are closer by that would be just as well as Mount Moriah. The offering, the lamb caught in the thicket, or the ram caught in the thicket, would not have been anywhere else. What if he had said, I'll wait, I'll talk to a lot of people about it, you know, I'll do this, I'll do that, and so forth. What if he'd have waited a month? The ram would not have been caught in the thicket at that time. Now think about it. God's provision is in God's place at God's time for God's people who are obedient unto Him. God will provide. There's no question about that. God will. And by the way, He's totally able, amen? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Question, are you available? Are you available? Wonder tonight if a lot of people just should not build the altar and say, dear God, I'm available. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to be, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to give, I'm ready. I'm available. Let's pray together. Pastor, come and lead us in prayer, will you?
Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for the message tonight. I thank you for the testimony of Abraham, a man who said just simply, here am I. Lord, I pray that would be our prayer tonight, just a simple, here am I, to whatever you have for us or wherever you would have for us to go, Lord, that our answer would be, just here am I. Heads bowed and eyes closed. With hands, as you're there in your seats, let me ask you this. How many of you would say, preacher, the Lord spoke to my heart this evening? You'd raise your hand as a testimony. Would you stand with me this evening as God has spoken to your heart? Why don't you just do as the message said, just simply sort of say, Lord, I'm available.